Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
I'm ready to go. I have a group of three women that book an appointment. They're sitting together over Zoom so that we can see each other. And all names are made up. I'm just going to say that from the start because we have different people here today. And Jill says to me, can you just connect to one person for us, please? That's all we want. She says, we're looking for Jake. So I said, okay, Jake, you're on. Who are you? What do these ladies want to know? What are we doing? And he says, well, first of all, he says, you're going to want your facts because you always want to start with your facts. These three women sitting in front of you are sisters. So I said, okay, that's great. Validated that. The women said that was correct. And they said, do you know anything about Jake yet? And I said, Jake, what do they want to know about you? He says, the whole thing is about me. He goes, the whole reason they booked this session is all because of me. He says, I am their father. So Jake says, they are here because they want to know about the will. They want to know what the hell is going on, what the hell I was thinking. And he says, I have a lot of explaining to do. And he goes, so first of all, Karen, he says, just to validate something, he says, I'll tell you things like I died of Parkinson's. He goes, I had Parkinson's for a long time. And he says, and I have a girlfriend, and he named her. So I'm going to name her. Not her real name, of course, again. I'm going to name her Marie. So he says, they're here. There's just a mess going on. And he says, they want clarity around the whole situation. He says, so let's back it up. He says, I'm going to tell you some history. There are two wills. He goes, so first of all, validate what I've said. Give Marie's name, say they're here about the wills, and say there are two. So I did, and the three women present said, that's correct. There's a girlfriend named Marie, and this is about two wills. What else does he have to say? And Jake comes in and he says, well, first of all, he says, my daughter Jill was the one that insisted that I do the very first will. And I did that will when their mom, my wife, by the way, all three girls have one mother, my wife. He says, I wrote that with Jill because I just wouldn't do it. He says, she would come over as well as my other daughters and say, Mom, Dad, have you got a will? And they would say how important it was to have it and how hard it can be to go through court systems when there's no will and problems among family members and fights and all this kind of stuff. And like the girls really educated me to know that there was good reason to have a will. He says, but they really put it on me and not my wife to do it. And he says, and I just didn't do it. He says, there's no good reason why I didn't do this other than the fact that it was just avoidance. He goes, which is one of my life lessons that I never got, by the way. He said, I went through life avoiding things that were simple and easy to do, and I just kept putting things off. And he said, so he says, my wife died. And he says, Jill eventually showed up and said, Dad, I have printed out a will. We are going to do it here together today. And it was never Jill's intention to have it done in her favor over the other two sisters. And he says, and you need to say that. So I said to him, why do I need to specifically say that? Is there more behind that? He says, there is. Say it first. So I did. And then he says, I want to explain that. He said, all three of my daughters work equally as hard at their careers. He goes, tell them that. So I did. And then he said, but my other two daughters make way more money than Jill. But because they make more money, they think they're more deserving to make more money, even though they all work equally as hard. Jill approached me about writing the will, and they think it's because she wants the money. She made sure that it was not about that in the least, even though she realizes she could use the money more than her sisters, but she was looking for fairness. So that's that. So I said, okay, I still don't really know where all of this is going, but he's just giving facts and I'm just relaying them to the three girls. And overall, say between the three, somebody's validating something. Then he says, then Marie came along and he said, so this is my girlfriend. And I said, what actual facts do you have about your girlfriend that I could offer the three women? And he said, well, she lived in her own house and I had my house and I met her obviously when I was older. And I said, well, can you give me ages, like roughly even decades, like 60s, 70s, 50s, 80s, 90s, like what? And he goes, oh, I met Marie like in my 70s, but she's much younger than me. And I said, okay, like much younger as in the sense of the age of your daughters, perhaps? And he goes, very close, yes. And I said, okay. And then he goes, so, and Marie has her own children. He goes, now that's important. That's not, it becomes important. She has her own children. They're adults as well. Her children are males, by the way. And he goes, that's just a fact. Point that out. So I did. They validated it. And then he said, so I have Parkinson's. And he says, and during the relationship, Marie never moved in. And I said, okay. He says, we really separately had our own houses. And then when I got to nearing the very end of my life and I was really deteriorating, and I deteriorated quickly. He says, at that point, Marie wanted to move in. And she kept saying that it was that she wanted to move in because she wanted to be there to take care of me. And he says, but in reality, I had all kinds of medical care. I have money. I had all kinds of people coming in and taking care of me. Anything I needed, I had 24-hour nursing care. He said, I didn't need her to come in at that point. And he said, she took some of her clothing and her personal things, jewelry, books, shoes, slippers, whatever, and she brought it to my house. And he says, I didn't know that. He says, I was bedridden at this point. And he goes, and nursing people were coming in and out and they saw what she was doing, but they're not really questioning that. And so she's now got more and more of her stuff in the house. And it's looking like she lives with him. She takes, I don't know what you call it, Kelly, like if you buy it in a store, but she got, like Jill did, she got some kind of a will kit. She brings it over to his house and she writes out a new will saying that there had been an old will with like a note in it that in the prior will, things had been given to his children and it, like a handwritten or a typed up note, pardon me, but making it sound handwritten or like in his own language, that he had a change of heart and that he was giving his money to Marie. And that she could do with it as she saw fit, including giving it to her boys. So she has all of this like typed up. And then she creates a new will. And she goes in over, he said, several days, several weeks, trying to get him to sign it. Nobody knows what's going on. And then eventually, very close to his death, he signs that. He signs that will negating the first one, saying he's had a change of heart and all of these things, and that he's giving everything to her and that she's the one in control of everything. So I repeated this to the three women and they went, okay, this is Dad, like this. And I said, is this the issue? Is this why you've booked this session? I said, am I in the right area? They said, oh, you are exactly where we need you to be. And we are so glad that you're talking to Dad. You keep going. We've got questions, but you seem to be doing a good job of talking to him. We'll interject if we need to. So I said, Jake, like, what do the girls need to know then? And because you've created problems. He says, well, first of all, he says, I want to say I'm very sorry. He says that I signed those papers. He says, but I also want to say I signed those damn papers under the influence of a ton of drugs.
Yeah. It's interesting he's apologizing. Like, it's one thing to say, like, I'm sorry this is happening to you. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's a signature under duress.
Mm-hmm. So, but I do understand why he's still apologizing, though, Kelly, because I think he is just saying that I'm sorry this is happening. I'm sad that it's happening, I guess is a better way of wording it.
Yeah, like that's not an apology. Yeah, apology is I did something wrong and I am taking responsibility and owning that.
Yeah, but I think people say I'm sorry.
That's when not an apology, though. Saying the words I'm sorry is very different than actually offering someone an apology.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to hear you're going through that. That's not an apology.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry that's happening to you. That's not an apology.
Yeah. Got it.
I'm sorry for what I did to hurt you is an apology.
Mm-hmm. So he talks to the girls about being under duress. He talks about that he had been medicated for many years. This was nothing new that he was under medication. It was nothing new that at the end of life there would be a ton of other types of medication.
It was new that he was experiencing elder abuse.
Yes. Yeah. So he explains, he tells them that he's sad that they're going through all of this mess and that they're mad at him.
Fuck Marie.
Yeah.
She's the reason, she's the woman, right? This idea of a woman as to why we have a bad rap.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Because there are, and just as you were starting to tell the story, I was thinking like, oh, fuck, I don't get that. Like the 20 years older male, like I don't get it both ways. Why you might want to choose someone that's your child's age. That doesn't make sense to me. And then it's like, okay, I don't want to really judge that too harshly. But then this, right? This is the thought that runs through people's minds to think like, okay, what is she trying to get out of this? Mm-hmm. Or what is that younger individual hoping for?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure for many adult children with aging parents, especially if they have money or property or, I don't know, anything really of value, how afraid they are that somebody's going to come along and do this to their parent.
Mm-hmm. I've been in that situation. And it's been a really shitty conversation to have out loud to fully explain your intention as to why you're asking about law,
mm-hmm.
right? Because Marie clearly understood what law looked like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if she can prove, quote unquote, that she has stayed X number of consecutive nights in her partner's house, even though she's not on the mortgage or anything like that, then the law is going to look at her in a certain light.
Mm-hmm. And this comes out in the session. He ends up saying to the girls, I know that when you arrived in town, because they're going to stay at Dad's, that's where they stay, Marie's stuff is at Dad's. Marie has put herself in Dad saying, this is my home. What are you doing here? You can stay at a hotel. And they're like, we never stay at a hotel. We always stay with Dad. And what the hell are you doing here? And why is your shit here? We know you don't live here.
Mm-hmm.
So the three women, he confirms for them, I saw you having it out with her.
Mm, good on them.
Mm-hmm. Right to the point where these three women called the police and said, she has no business being in our dad's house. And the police are like, well, or whatever that whole thing was. Jake talks about the fact that there are police that are called to the house because the girls are livid about what she's doing. And they are smart women. They know exactly what she's up to. They have suspected this through the relationship. They have checked in with Jake to say, are you living together? Are you married? How do you see this relationship? Mm-hmm. What do you call her? And he says, I call her my girlfriend. She has her own house. She has her own life and her own kids. She just comes and stays here for a bit. She drives me to my appointments. She helps me out a little bit. She picks up my groceries. It's like she's an employee. So all of this stuff, I just simply repeat to them. I say what Jake is saying about that, about what he's seeing, what he hears in their conversations. The women here are so grateful that Dad's showing up to show that he knows the types of conversations that had occurred while he was alive, while he when he died, since he's died. So I want to like put that out there. And then Jake says to me, the girls, my girls want to know about taking her to court. They want to know if it's worth it, if there will be evidence, if a legal system will, how do you say that? Err on their side. I don't know if that's the right word.
Side with them.
Side with them. Thank you. Oh my God, I don't know where my words were there. We'll side with them, or if this will be not worth it. And Jake says to me, Karen, he says, Jill can't afford it. He said, as much as Jill could benefit from the money, she can't afford it in case they lose. So she is at the mercy of her two sisters, whether they're actually going to proceed or not. Even though they're asking me, it's really up to these two women. And he says, and what I want to say about that is that I would want to encourage my two daughters to take Marie to court. He said, because Marie needs to be held accountable for what she's done. And we're going to hope and pray, and I'm going to lean on the side that the court's going to side with the three girls. And I want my two daughters to stand up for my other daughter because they have the funds to do this. They don't need my money. So it is going to be very clear that if they stand up and fight, that these two have to pay the bill and that they're doing it for their sister. He goes, this is really what this is now about.
Interesting.
And Jill does not feel in her situation that she has the right to say, I want to take this woman to court. I want to hold Marie accountable. I need this money. All of the truths. But I need you two to do it for me because I can't. And you guys don't need the money and it's going to be your headache. So Jake put all of that on the table, Kelly. And I said that to all three women. It got very quiet. Very quiet. And then, and this does not happen that often in sessions, the two sisters said they wanted to leave the room. And I thought, oh, Christ.
The two with money.
Hey, the two with money. Yeah. They wanted to leave. And they never said a word about why or if they were coming back. Nothing. And they were just neutral about it. They just stood up and they walked out of the room. They said, thank you. And they left. And I thought, okay. So then Jill just looks at me and she goes,
yeah,
like this, like we were just quiet. And she goes, okay. She goes, this is really awkward. I don't even know if my sisters are coming back. She goes, it's okay. We've prepaid the session. She goes, I understand we have about 10 minutes left. She goes, so why don't I pull a, why don't you go open? She says, I've heard you can just go open and tell me whatever you get. And if Jake is there or not, go for it. And if he isn't, that's fine. Just tell me anything. And she says, but quite honestly, I feel like I'm a little bit checked out because I'm so stressed.
Which is why recording is so great.
Yeah. So then we just barely got started where I was just like, okay, universe, what do you guys want to tell Jill? And I got freaking nothing. I just get this nothingness. And I'm looking at Jill going, Jill, I don't know what's happening, but for some reason, there's a little pause here in the universe. And she went, okay, that's okay. Maybe it's because I need it too. And the door opens and the two sisters walk back in. And I thought, oh, this is the pause. The guides knew the women were coming back in. It just worked out fantastic, thankfully. And her two sisters sit beside her, but I noticed something. I noticed that this time that each sister sat on each side of her.
I just saw it. They flanked her. Cool.
As opposed to they had been both on, like sitting side by side. And they both sat on either side, and I thought, oh, I hope to God this is what I think it means, yeah. and it's a build up as opposed to a no, we're not going to, but we're going to console you. And I thought, oh God, I hope this is going to be okay for this family. And I didn't even check in with Jake. I got to tell you, I was so tuned out of Jake at this point in the channeling. I was so humanly present just to see what the three women were going to do that I just watched them literally. And one of the sisters turned to Jill and said, we wanted to talk together first and be on the same page. We each didn't want to speak out of turn for the other. Mm-hmm. That's why we walked out of the room, not to be rude to you, not to make you nervous. We know how hard you work. We know you work just as hard as us and that our careers make us more money, even though we have no more education than you do, and that we are no more deserving of our lifestyle than you would be if you had the same. We have decided we are taking Marie to court.
Decisive women.
We have decided that we are paying the bill. We have decided that whatever money is an expense of this, we're footing. Mm. And any money that comes out of this from dad's and mom's money is entirely yours.
Oh, wow.
Minus whatever their, you know, bills or whatever. So they said this ended up being said flat out.
No, that's different. You just went back on your word there.
Oh, no. It's they're the footing first the way. Bill. Yes, I got that. They're footing the bills, so she gets all the money. That's correct.
They're not saying once you get paid out, you're paying us. No, you're a third, right?
No, you are right. It was the way it was said the first time.
Yeah.
Thank you. That she is to get all of the money from mom and dad. And they made a point of saying from mom and dad. Mm-hmm. That's how it ended.
Hmm.
Kelly, I got to tell you, you don't often get to see such resolution in a session or get to see a family actually come together. Mm-hmm. Sometimes information in sessions really split people.
Mm-hmm.
And make some situations that were not good even worse.
Yep.
This is why I thought this was such a good session to share with people.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that Jake showed up to say, I created a mess because I constantly avoided situations. And
that's not even true. I don't like this. Jake did avoid the initial will, but he did get it done.
True.
And then he signed under duress a completely fabricated fucking will.
Very true.
Like, sure, apologize for your, like, lazy ass in the beginning. He did not create a mess.
Fair.
He actually loved and took care of his daughters. Yeah. And it sounds like his wife, when he was finally, you know, mm-hmm. at the point of, okay, I can make this will, I can sign this first one
mm-hmm.
in the way that's going to take care of my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really happy that they had you. I'm really happy that they had their dad.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, we talk a lot about clarity, relief, direction. That's what we're talking about when you get mm-hmm. the chance to talk to a medium,
mm-hmm.
right? As well as a psychic, I should mention that, because it's not all mediums that can say, yes, go ahead and go to court, right? It might have just been affirmations of what Jake looked like and that it was, in fact, their dad and he had Parkinson's True. And there were two wills. And all of that is great information. It's not to put down those kinds of mediums, mm-hmm. right? Or the limitations on some mediums, but to also have all of the other gifts come in to say, hey, here's clarity about the fact that there's two wills and what the intention actually was. Here's the relief that you can get knowing all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll say, to their credit, to the sisters' credit, all within the course of, an hour?
Mm-hmm.
They actually took the clarity and the relief and created direction for themselves. Because they could have decided the direction was not court,
mm-hmm.
right? But they sat down in integrity. They sat down in love. They sat down in the intention that their actual father had and said, ah, this is the direction he wanted. This is the direction that makes the most sense in our heart space or integrity, and mm-hmm. we will carry that out because we can afford to.
Mm-hmm.
This was an infuriating Saturday. Don't get me wrong. But it was a very good story to share. mm-hmm. of what possibilities can come from this type of a session, and to the connection that you can still maintain.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for wrapping all of that up and correcting me when I made statements that weren't correct. And I want to explain that just very, very briefly for people. I'm extrapolating that aspect of that session to give this story. There were other little mini things that Jake talked about that weren't relative to this, where he had other experiences as a dad where he wasn't as healthy, where he had created problems. But my head thought about those and didn't stay focused. It stayed focused when I wrote this to put this together, but it didn't stay focused. And so those sentences slipped in here, and then you caught them and corrected them. And I thought, why did I say that? That doesn't make any sense
because
here.
Because you have all of the backstory. And I want to say this too, okay? Just so people are like, what's happening?
Yeah.
As you're saying all of these things and you're telling me, you know, he postponed doing a will in the first place, like my brain synthesizes a shit ton of information really, really fast. We've talked about this a lot. And so I can hear you say that and I can put together an entire equation and go, oh, so there's a really big issue with attachment, issue with responsibility, issue with people pleasing, issue with this. And I can therefore the shit out of the rest of the situation, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. But my job is to sit as the listener with only the information that you have given us. And I'm thinking, based on the information that you have given us,
yes,
not necessarily what I have access to, that would just make no sense. And people would be over apologizing or over explaining for potentially something that, you know, similar to what Jake experienced, I'm not going to say did, and think, oh man, do I need to apologize, right? And it's like, that's not what this is. Mm-hmm. Plus, as you know, correcting is one of my favorite fucking things to do, unfortunately, as a one.
Mm-hmm. And before we go, I don't know why I want to share this, but I felt so annoyed with Marie to come
you
in.
You don't know why?
Well,
let me list the fucking reasons.
I mean, why want to bring it up again?
But what a trash human.
Yes.
What a trash fucking human.
Just and like to drop into this family and create chaos in emotional, financial, like relationship. Like she just comes in and creates all this chaos because of her own shit. Mm-hmm. It just infuriated me. I just want to share that with everybody.
And she's a mom.
She's a mom.
Yeah. So if you guys were listening today and you too felt annoyed or you had to listen to this in three pieces because you thought, fuck this, like same.
Right.
And like my brain goes to, fuck, I have to edit this.
Oh.
I have to listen to this again.
Right. I'm so sorry.
No, it's good. And you know what? I really do. As you know, I listen from the listener's perspective and I really... really try to have the same level of empathy that I think you guys will be listening with, and also draw out what you might be feeling and why you might be feeling it in case you're not sure of what those sensations or feelings are, so that you're also learning about yourself as you're processing information. So it is a fun job, even when the story sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you did a great job loving these ladies. They did a great job loving each other.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, it is a very hopeful story because you're hearing three women taking really good care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, help spread the love with a like, share, or review of the podcast. See you next Saturday with a brand new episode.